But 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, which is alive, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And I want to concentrate on this little verse, the verse 3, in the middle of the verse where it says, they will not endure sound doctrine. And the problem we have is people do not want doctrine. And doctrine is a word that is, it's another word for teaching in Greek, but it gives more meat as far as having the doctrine, the outline, and the things that you believe form your doctrine. And the doctrine is more like the back, the bone structure that holds the muscles together in the body. Without the doctrine, the muscles, without the backbone and the bones in the body, the muscles would be useless. But doctrine forms a skeletal system to give you the strength and foundation on which to stand. Whenever you hear someone teaching, their doctrine is something that they hold dear or they believe within themselves that it makes them believe what they believe. It's doctrine. And people don't endure sound doctrine, have itching ears, and they turn away themselves from the faith, wanting to have their ears tickled and scratched. I've seen this several times where people just cannot endure sound doctrine. Endure, it means to, sometimes it is hard to sit down and listen to sound doctrine because it's sometimes not emotional. It's not exciting. But it forms a skeletal system that will give you support and be able to allow your muscles to work properly in the spiritual sense. Our foundation now is Jesus Christ. And yes, you can see I'm wearing shorts and it's 41 degrees and I feel good, so... Anyway, our foundation is Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for us, and we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And He was buried, went to hell, and He rose again from the dead, and He is at the right hand of the Father. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And He is our salvation. That's our foundation. The doctrine we preach is from Romans to Philemon that gives us the skeletal system to give us the strength and support to go through every situation, to endure anything it comes our way, and to be able to go through this life with joy and excitement and contentment. And no matter what happens during our life, as long as we have the doctrine and the foundation first and the doctrine of Paul's epistles, we'll be able to get through with much joy and contentment. Won't be perfect. And not all the time you're jumping off the wall and having exciting times, but it gets you through. We've been through, in the last month and a half or so, Brother Jerry shared with two funerals and some sad situations and talking with some of the people that attended the funeral, which breaks my heart to see that there's no joy because there is no hope. And when people have no hope, there is a sorrow, especially in death, that is very explainable to the world because they have no hope. We understand it. When a person dies without Christ, there's no hope. And when we have sorrow because there is no hope, there's no testimony, and the sadness that goes is sad. I remember my dad's funeral in 2005, just the opposite. I knew his testimony of salvation and the joy when we were coming together in the Friday night viewing, it was with people who have like-minded, who were saved. We shared the wonderful things what God had done and how Dad was saved, and we would see him again, and there was such joy at that, even the Friday night viewing, and then, of course, the Saturday morning funeral. It was just unbelievable. But the doctrine is really what I want to get back on. It's the doctrine of people who will not endure sound doctrine. Look in chapter 3. Look in verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And look at verse 5. After all these little things, these evil things are going on, these people have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, the power of God's salvation, that Christ died for our sins. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. And the people who deny the power thereof. And then back to chapter 4, we see that people will not endure sound doctrine. Well, to endure is to be able to last through and to be able to endure a long, hard workout. I remember when we played football, and there was times it was tough, and the heat was unbearable. It's 101 degrees, and you're wearing this uniform, and you've got a 2.5-hour practice, and you've got to endure the whole thing. Well, you better be prepared for it. If you're not, you're going to be carried out on a stretcher, or maybe you have heat exhaustion, and Lord forbid, heat stroke. We prepared for ourselves through exercise and preparation to get through these practices, and they're very, very hard. The same way, in the sense, enduring sound doctrine, you need to prepare for it in the sense, first have your foundation laid, Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, and then be willing to, it's not endure in a bad sense, but it's to go through the doctrine that Paul's going to lay for you. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 25. We've used this many times here, and I thank God for this verse. It makes so much more sense now in Paul's epistles when we understand what this means. Look at verse 25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you, not establish, but establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. That word establish is not established. It's in the Old English where we get the word stabilize. And establish is to prepare for permanence. So when you stabilize something and you get a foundation ready, you have to stabilize the dirt, get it packed down, and get ready for receiving a foundation. And then you have to stabilize the whole area where you're going to put a foundation down, and then put your rebar and have your form set, and you have to get it prepared for a permanent foundation. That's exactly what this word means, established, to stabilize, to prepare for permanence and get ready. This is how you prepare for sound doctrine. You have a foundation that establishes you according to Paul's gospel and makes you ready for a foundation to be poured for permanence. It's in the Old English, it's prepare for permanence. And so stabilize, Paul's gospel establish you according to my gospel. It will get you completely ready to do this, receive the doctrine. And once you start receiving the doctrine, turn over to Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 9. Well, let's just start in verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. The doctrine, established. It puts on a foundation. It fills up the permanence. So established sets down a foundation for permanence. Establish, S-T-A-B-L-I-S-H, means to prepare for permanence, and establish is to have that permanence put down, which we get the doctrine. Paul wanted to establish them with a spiritual gift, and he starts out in Romans, and we have it in our Bible first in the order that God wanted it, and it lays the complete doctrinal foundation for our Christian walk in this life. It doesn't cover every single thing that God has for us, Romans 5:11, but it lays the complete foundation for the doctrine to receive. And the way God put it in our books first, praise the Lord, it's the best book to start with. Look at verse 15. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And so he was ready to preach the gospel to get this doctrine, the foundation, get ready for establish it according to my gospel, chapter 16, verse 25. And then impart some spiritual gifts. He was ready to preach the gospel. That's the most important thing. We must have the gospel of Christ as the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth it. It must be first. And it must be foremost at all times to preach the gospel of Christ. Whenever we hear a message without the gospel of Christ, to me now it just makes me cringe because I realize that without this gospel we have nothing. Myself included. 2 years I was in churchianity, studying my Bible, hearing things, and not saved. I started 16. Someone encouraged me to start reading my Bible and studying it, and somehow it just clicked in my mind, okay, let's do it. I started studying my Bible. I started asking questions, and the more I studied, I found out something's wrong. Something is wrong on the inside. I had already been walking down an aisle many times, repenting of my sins. I'd already been baptized twice. I just had to be saved. And the problem was I wasn't saved, but I was a lost believer. I believed in God, and I knew who Jesus Christ was, and I realized He died for my sins. But when that day came in 1975, when I was 18 years of age, and I realized through an accident, a pedestrian accident, that I could have gone to hell if I'd been killed, I realized I was lost. And I was in need of a Savior. And it finally came to the point a month later that I just couldn't take it anymore. I trusted Christ, asked Jesus Christ to save me. And Lord, save me. I am a mess and I need a Savior. And I called upon the name of the Lord to save me. It was the day I had peace. I still remember it, the Thursday before Thanksgiving in 1975. And the wonderful peace that came. So I had a foundation. The foundation is laid as Jesus Christ. He did die for my sins. He became my Savior. And what peace it is to know that you have a Savior every time you lay your head on the pillow. Praise the Lord. We have a Savior. I have a Savior. I hope you do too. Trust Christ. Realize that He died for your sins. Lay you the foundation. And then prepare yourself for the doctrine. Turn over to back to 1 Timothy. Look into chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. He's talking to Timothy, the son in the faith. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. They teach no other doctrine. Well, there are people who will teach other doctrines because people cannot endure sound doctrine. It's tough. It's tough to listen to a Bible study sometimes when you haven't had much sleep, but to realize that this is what's going to prepare you for your Christian walk, endure the sound doctrine. There's people that don't preach sound doctrine because it feels good or it sounds good. As I was coming here this morning, listening to the radio about a gentleman who preaches in San Diego, and he was talking about if we don't bless Israel over there in Israel right now, we're going to fail as a nation. We've been failing as a nation ever since we've been started because unless Jesus Christ is the head of the nation, it's going to fail anyway. And we're seeing the results of 200 years of just man trying to create a solution, which man has no solution. Only the Word of God has the solution through Jesus Christ. And our country, unfortunately, is not following Jesus Christ. It really never did. We have a nation that's independent. There were Christians who helped start this nation, men who loved the Word of God. But when you go back in our history and you see that sometimes they barely got this thing like the Declaration of Independence. Not everybody really wanted to get away from England. Not everybody wanted to start a new country. There wasn't a consensus on this. But within time, people came over to see that we needed to start something new. We did. But our country, we had the freedom religion. Well, look at all the religions we have in this country. It's not based upon the gospel of Christ. We're a secular nation, unfortunately. I wish we were a Christian nation. We have a nation that has a lot of Christians in it. Thank God for that. And thank God we have the ability to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. At times, it was easier in our past history to do this, and there's more of an attack on the Word of God today. But it comes as a result of people not enduring sound doctrine. All these problems in the churches today, enduring sound doctrine, people want something to tickle their ears, to make them feel good. As we were just seeing the other day, I was watching on the internet Brother Jerry Sanders preaching, and he was sharing that the whole emphasis on religion today is that music program. When you go into a service today, it's based around a music program, and when people come out, Wasn't the music good? Wasn't the music great? What did they say? Have no idea, but the music was good. And they'll have 20 to 25 to 45 minutes in some services even an hour long music service. They call it their praise and worship service. And it makes you feel good because you get up and move around, or you move to the music and you sing a few verses that are the same thing, the 7-Eleven type choruses. It feels good. And then we sit down and listen to 15 to 20 minutes of a pep talk. I've been in those churches before, and I've been with people I've tried to share the gospel with or share the rightly dividing with, and I go to their church because they invite me to go to it. Didn't you enjoy it? No. Did you get something out of it? No. Because it's all based on emotion, not upon the Word of God. One time I went to a service, they asked, well, what did you think? And I asked, did you realize that not one time they mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ in the whole service? Not even in the music. Not one time did they mention Jesus Christ until he prayed at the very end. And Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was it. 20-minute sermon that never mentioned salvation, that never mentioned the gospel, that never mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all about, oh, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing God's will. I'm learning to know more about God. And on and on and on it goes. And the Lord in heaven, if this man's saved, is yawning. Oh, would you talk about my son, what my son did for you? That's what God wants to hear. What has his son done for you? It's all about the gospel of Christ, that he died for our sins, and then learning about the doctrine, and it all it does is gives us more insight of what God did for us. And that's what gives us the strength to endure, because when we have a Savior, and we understand how much that Savior loves us, we can understand what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It pushes us forward. It's his love for what he did for us at the cross. We find out how great that love is and the magnitude of it, and it pushes us forward. We can't help but tell what wonderful things that Christ has done for us. It's the gospel of Christ and the doctrine thereof. Look in verse, here's our problem. In verse 3, they teach no other doctrine, but they give heed to fables and endless genealogies. And then also look at verse 7. They desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And they teach things that we can't do. For instance, they go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they use the Sermon on the Mount, and they show that this is how we need to live. Well, let's just turn back in just for a moment. Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. We'll start in Matthew 5. And let's just see just real briefly, very briefly, if you can do some of these things. I mean, they're great attitudes to have, but if you don't have this type of power the Holy Spirit gives to keep these things, it's impossible. In fact, look at chapter 5, verse 5.
What's in your mouth, Toby?
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Growing up in the religious system, I have no clue what that meant. Didn't understand that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Are they really going to inherit the earth? Why do I want the dirt, the ground? Well, God promised it to a group of people from the beginning that they would inherit the earth. That's their land. Their place is called Israel. And that they will inherit it. Blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, the Bible says that our heart is desperately wicked and vile. And who can know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? But the pure in heart, for they shall seek God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going to get the kingdom of heaven. I may be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for sharing the gospel of Christ, but my inheritance is not the kingdom of heaven. Turn a little bit to your... Look at verse 20 of the same chapter. That except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no in case enter into the kingdom of heaven. My goodness, the Pharisees were keeping the law and keeping it very clearly, but they were doing it out of a work-related religion instead of based on faith. They sought it not by faith. And if your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the people who heard this were marveling. Really? How good do you have to be? Wow, that's it's strange. How good do you have to be? You have to be very, very good. In fact, Jesus was approached by a man and said, "Good master." And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? Only one is good, and that is God." Trying to get the man to see that he's talking to the Son of God, God himself. Good master. Yes, he is our good master. He's our Savior and Lord. Look at, I'm sorry. Chapter 6, verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors." That's a good principle to live by. We should forgive one another. But look at verse 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Well, there's a problem there. If we don't forgive, then God won't forgive us. Look at verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Well, that's a problem here because we have money in my pocket and I'm trying to save money up for my child's inheritance. And it says, "But lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break in through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Well, we should do that. We should set our affections on things above, but we have to work for a living and we have to prepare for the future as if the Lord's not going to come for a while. Prepare that he's not going to come for a while, but always expect that he may come today. And on it goes. Look at chapter 10. Chapter 10 of Matthew says, look at verse 6 or verse 5. In the middle part, "Go not into the way of Gentiles and enter into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip on your journey, neither two coats." On and on and on it goes. I can't do that. So obviously we're teaching some other doctrine if we're teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to live by. And I can't live by it because I'm preparing for my children's inheritance. And it says, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles." Well, I am a Gentile. And it says, "Don't go to me." It says, "Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And people ignore this, especially when Matthew 28:19 says, and if you'll turn it real quick, Matthew 28:19. Hope I get there before you do. 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, along the way, even into the world." Turn to your left to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 1. "Then Jesus spake to the multitude and said to his disciples, saying, the scribes of the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, keep the law, that observe and do." And then he just tells them, don't be hypocrites like the Pharisees, because they are. They tell you to do the law, but they don't keep it themselves. But Jesus told the disciples, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, they teach the law. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, do it, because they're telling you to keep the law. Well, I can't keep the law. Number one is, I can't go to Jerusalem three times a year. The Bible told Israel, all the males must appear before me three times a year. I can't do it because there's no temple to go to in Jerusalem, and there's no Jerusalem that has God as their leader there anyway. So it would do me no good. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was written to a group of people preparing for the kingdom of heaven that must endure to the end, that must never deny the Lord, must never, ever, ever say anything against the Holy Spirit and blaspheme the Holy Ghost. To me, I'd be walking on pins and needles wondering if I'd blaspheme the Holy Ghost. These people had the power to keep the law, had the power to keep what Jesus said to them, because they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they were baptized into a fire, a type of faith that we couldn't keep if we wanted to. We are baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. We are put there with a seal of the Holy Ghost and kept there until the day of redemption, when he comes back to call us from this earth and he takes us home to be with him forever. That's our inheritance. That's our doctrine. That's why we teach no other doctrine but the doctrine which Paul, Romans through Philemon. Romans through Philemon, over and over and over. Now turn back to your right to 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 6. This, what amazes me sometimes is people who have an agenda or they want to show that they've seen something that no one else has seen. And we saw that in a Bible conference a couple of years ago when someone asked a question. He was so excited that no one had ever heard what he had just mentioned, and it thrilled him to death. There's 350 people there, many preachers sitting on the first four or five rows, and they, what in the world? And he was so excited about sharing something that no one else had seen. When that happens, you better run for the doors. Because number one, it's God's Word, and we should all be studying it. And when we find something that is new to us, it's been revealed to us by our study, and we say, wow, this is exciting. I finally saw this for myself. And we should say amen. Well, I finally saw that we should follow the Lord Jesus Christ through Paul's epistles. Praise the Lord. But when we come with a new revelation saying, I found something new and I want to share it with you, as if it's something that's going to open up a new line of thinking and a new line of beliefs, run for the door. It's in God's Word we stay, and we realize that we're just servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're nothing special. We have no special line to the Lord. The Holy Spirit that taught Paul these words and had him write them down is the same Holy Spirit that teaches us what this Word says. And when we come with away with something that's just so, wait a minute now, what's going on here? It just says this, and you're saying that. Trust the book. And as the Acts 17:11 says, the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, but they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things be so. They sought the Word of God to see whether Paul was teaching the truth. And so, as it should be, everyone should examine what has been said, whether by me or anyone else, says, is this according to Scripture? Is this according to the Word of God? And then compare with other passages to see if the person is telling the truth. Sorry. Every time I sit down and hear something, I listen to it and I receive it as the Word of God, but I examine it to see if it's the truth and it's correct. There might be a little minor thing that needs to be corrected, but it would be something I would discuss afterwards, not during a full-blown session. And it's always getting it right according to the Word of God. We have no special ability. We have, like I said, we have no special channel to the Lord. God gives us the same Holy Spirit to teach us this Word. Just believe what it says. Look in chapter 6, verse... let's just start in verse 1. I know it's in a context of servants. But let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, 1 Timothy 1 through 5, and then it's part of 6, is if any man, in verse 3, teach anything otherwise than 1 Timothy 1 through 6, 2, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, that person is described in verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about in questions. And look at this, strife of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It's what is amazing is we have people, verse 4, proud and knowing nothing, but doting about in questions and strifes of words, and they're corrupt. They have corrupt minds. Look at chapter 4. Part of the problem is verse 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits, for those guys that are going to seduce you and get you off the right path. This doctrine, Romans to Philemon. When people say that I'm going back into a system or I hold to this doctrine of the system, I wonder if the seducing spirit's got a hold of them because they're not staying true to Romans Philemon. I mean, Romans 1, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 17, for God sent me not to baptize. And then in chapter 4 and chapter 11 of that same book, it says, follow me. Follow my example. Follow what I've been teaching. For Christ sent me not to baptize. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, in parentheses, for we walk by faith, comma, not by sight. And so most of religion is a sight religion. I see you, you're spiritual, that's why I like you, because you're a spiritual person. It's a by sight thing. It's a fair show in the flesh, as Galatians chapter 6 says. People want to see your spirituality because they can glory in your flesh. He's one of us. When you don't go to this church, you're not one of us. We don't consider you spiritual. There's a denomination that says if you're not baptized by one of their ministers, you're not saved. It's not in the Bible. There's no such thing. And a person who is saved at work shared with me one time, well, I wanted to get baptized because it's an outward show of my inward faith. And I blurted out, that's not in the Bible. Would you show me that, where it's in the Bible? Well, that's what I believe. But you haven't shown it from the Bible. Why would you think that's a doctrine that's true for today? Well, that's what I've been taught. Have you examined the Scriptures? No, I haven't. Do so. You'll find that there's no such thing. It's an outward show of my inward faith. When people were baptized in John the Baptist's days, it was an outward show to the world that I am following this doctrine, the baptism of repentance. It was a sign for them, because Jews require a sign. Gentiles don't require a sign. And it's when it's an outward show of your faith, it has to be done. It's you're falling into religion. And religion will always be an outward show of your supposedly inward faith. But it's a show. And how many times have we heard of people who were baptized and not even saved? You want to take those people off the rolls and say, now we are finally saved the correct way, now you be baptized, but we need to scratch these two off, as many won't do, because they love the numbers. I was baptized twice into a religious system. I was counted twice, and then I got saved. Amazing. An outward show of inward faith? No. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And the doctrine, consider what Paul says, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. But when we will not consider what Paul says, you're going to have problems. In fact, it's called unsound doctrine. Unsound doctrine. And it becomes a Band-Aid, and it becomes a feel-good thing. Unsound doctrine, there's no stability in it. It makes you feel good. There's no reward in it. It won't have any purpose other than making you look good. And that's what religion does, and that's what people want to do, is when they want to look good and get along with all people. When you go and preach the sound doctrine of Romans and Philemon, you won't have a whole bunch of friends. They do not want to listen to that. Because, in fact, turn over to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 18, or 17. We'll start in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 17, chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Like I shared the guy with work about the gospel of Christ. There's no such thing. There's no God. He won't send me to hell. And on he goes. It's foolishness to him because he's perishing. I'm afraid that, and I'm asking the Lord to save him through the gospel. And hopefully one day before he dies, he'll see the truth of the gospel and believe it. I want him to be saved. I want to see him for eternity. But right now, he's one of those that are foolish because the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Foolishness. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The doctrine, the basic doctrines. The most important thing is Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's the power of God. Your faith stands in the power of God. Not in us, not in any preacher. It's always in God, the power of God. And if your faith is standing in anything else, you have nothing to stand on. It's the power of God. Jesus Christ died for our sins, the power of God unto salvation, the gospel of Christ, and then we're laying a solid foundation of the doctrine through Romans, through Philemon, and we want to endure the sound doctrine, because if we don't, we're going to have our ears tickled and we're going to have to seek something else. It takes work to study the Word of God. It takes work to sit down and listen to a Bible study when a man will stand up there for an hour and share the Word of God and break it apart and show you through the Word how Paul's gospel is different than Peter's gospel. And it takes work to endure this sometimes. But we want to endure it because there's a reward at the very end, and that's what we seek. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Look in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. He was a religious man, and his old religious system to him was dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him, Christ, not having mine own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. We're not there yet. I wish we were, but we're not. But I follow after it that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus saved him and grabbed a hold of him, and he belongs to the Lord. Now he's grabbing a hold of Christ and holding on to him for dear life. And as we study and understand God's word more and more and more, we want to hold on even tighter. Not that we can be lost, but we want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward it. That's my goal. I have one singular purpose. Is that Christ and him crucified, I will be with him forever. I press on the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, some other doctrine, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. We go by the same doctrine. Romans to Philemon. Study it. Study it for yourselves. Consider yourself a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Consider yourself that you need to study, and you will stand before an almighty God and give an account of your life on earth. What did you do with God's word? What have you done since you've been saved? Trust the word of God. Believe it. It will completely change you. The day I understood rightly dividing in all its glory took over a 7-month period, but the last month was so incredible because I had a chance just to study for 30 days without any interruptions because I couldn't go to work, I couldn't walk, and so I had a 30-day leave, but I went to every Bible study I could. I studied afterwards, I studied before. It made all the world of difference. When I understood who I was in Christ, it came out in such glory and fascination to me because I was able to articulate what I was in Christ, but it took a lot of study. But here was the result. Turn over to Philemon, the last book of Paul's epistles in our Bible, the way it's in order. Philemon. Here's what happened to me. Look at verse 6. I'm sorry, start in verse 4 again. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Look at this verse. I love this verse. that the communication, the speaking of your faith, may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. When I understood what I was in Christ, that I was no good, that I needed a Savior, I was already saved, but I understood completely what I was, and that I had the doctrine, Romans to Philemon, to get me through, to stabilize me, and to establish me, and I found out who I was in Christ, it came out of my mouth with such joy when I went back to work after 30 days. I almost thought I was saved all over again. People asked, what happened to you? And I told them, I want to tell y'all, I just got saved, but I've already been saved, but I found out who I was in Christ, and it's made all the difference. And that's what happens. When you find out and understand who you are and what you are in Christ, it will come out of you with such joy and excitement, people just have to stand in amazement and wonder. They may not receive it, but they will have to stand in amazement and wonder. I've had this said to me several times, it's fantastic what's happened to you, but I'm glad it's happened to you, not me. Why? Because it's the preaching of the cross that causes them to realize that they need something. They need a Savior. And it comes out of me with such joy because I realize what my Savior did for me on that cross. Because of this doctrine, Romans to Philemon, it makes me appreciate more of what my Savior has done for me. And it comes out effectually because I understand who I am in Christ. When I first started rightly dividing, I couldn't have taught this if I had wanted to. Even after 2 years, I couldn't teach it if I wanted to because it was so amazing to get rid of the religious system in my head and put on Christ through Paul's epistles and understand who I was in Christ. But boy, the day when I was able to teach it and share with other people the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the doctrine of Paul, it was exciting. And it's still exciting to this very, very day. In fact, my goal was always to see people, of course, be saved, but come into the knowledge of the truth. Because it brings such joy and excitement through all situations. I don't care what comes. If you're going through any situation, the Word of God will get you through. I won't say it would be easy sometimes, but even when I was in the hospital for almost a month, I had hope in the Word of God. My hope was not in myself or the doctors. I'm thankful for the doctors. But the hope was in the Word of God. If I was to go ahead and be with the Lord during my hospital stay, so be it. I was excited to be there. But the Lord got me well enough to get back on my feet. And so, praise the Lord, here I am sharing the Word of God. And until the day I die, I want to share the Word of God and see people come to the knowledge of the truth because it brings such joy and contentment. Teach no other doctrine. Stand fast in the Word of God. It's amazing how when people strife about words or argue about this thing, when it says in plain English this, and we want to argue about that, that's what bothers me sometimes. When people won't see what the Word of God says, and when people honestly try to share it, now share the, look at this, look at this, and look at this, and look at this, and they resist the truth. They resist God's Word. Turn back to, we'll finish up, and we'll go back to the same place we started. Look in Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 3 will end here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And that's the problem. People will not endure sound doctrine. It's the Word of God. Romans to Philemon. Consider what Paul says. And the Lord gives you understanding in all things. The doctrine. It will make you established. We get established by the gospel of Christ. And the doctrine prepares us for complete in this life. As we walk through this life, it gets us established to get us through with such joy and contentment. I said this in a sense. The gospel of Christ is the foundation. And it does establish us, prepares for the doctrine. But this is the foundation. I don't want to mislead anyone that this is not the complete foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our doctrine is what establishes us in this life to get us through and prepare us to meet the Lord. And if the Lord allows us to live for zillions of years after we're saved, if we study the Word of God, it just gets better and better and better and better and more exciting. The Word of God is rich. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Able to divide asunder soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. One reason why men don't want to study the Word of God, because when you study the Word of God, it examines you and exposes us of what we really are. People in need of a Savior. Trust Christ. Believe that He died for your sins and was buried and rose again for your justification. He did it all. And as we study the doctrine, it shows us such a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus Christ. There is none other whereby we can be saved but Jesus Christ. He is our Savior and He is our Lord. And also He has sent us wonderful gifts. The gift of the Holy Spirit to share and to show us the Word of God and to point us back to this Savior. The job of the Holy Spirit is to teach us, but He will always point us to Jesus Christ. And if you're in a place which does not point you to Jesus Christ, run for the door. Run for the door. You always seek Jesus Christ. The Bible says, even Jesus said it Himself, God sent Christ Himself, His Son, they will reverence My Son. Well, they ended up killing Him, but that's what God wanted. I will send My Son, they will reverence My Son. But they killed Him. But thank goodness, because of the cross, we now have salvation. And that's what we should be turning our eyes towards all the time, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and no other doctrine. Because other doctrines lead you astray, and it always leads to a fair show in the flesh that people want to be something, have something, and show something because I'm important. Well, we're not important. God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us, but as everyone else has said, we're not worth the gunpowder it takes to blow us into hell, and I myself included. But I have a Savior, and He saved me anyway, and I thank God for it. Trust Christ, believe that He died for you, and get yourself established in the doctrine through Bible studies of your own and listening to good men of God. There's plenty online that we have, and links to our website to other places that can share, have people that share the Word of God.